Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. Please be seated. So I thought this evening it would be very fitting during Holy Week to name that I have a confession, and I'm so glad that Bishop Ann is here to absolve me of all of my sins. But I have to confess, I am a history nerd. From a young age, I watched the History Channel religiously until it got a little too weird. Ancient Aliens was not my jam at all. But my love of history was really kicked into high gear in high school with a teacher who dressed up as historical figures and created spaces for students to step into the past. History wasn't just names and dates to memorize for the state test. It was alive and breathing. It was breathing and it moved right in front of us as if we were actually there. And the fascinating part, of course, hindsight is 20/20, but the more I try to imagine myself in that time, to inhabit it fully, the more I actually learned. In many ways, the Triduum, which begins tonight with Maundy Thursday, does the same thing. It invites us to step into a story not as passive observers, but as participants, to allow it to transform who we are. When we hear about Jesus washing the disciples' feet and sharing a final meal, we are invited to imagine ourselves in that upper room, to hear the water, to feel the towels, to sense the humility, the vulnerability, the love, and the care. As in my history class, the more fully we inhabit this story, the more it can become alive and become real. Of course, stepping into another time and another culture is never an easy thing. My history teacher made it easy to imagine him as Napoleon Bonaparte because he looked the part. But engaging with him fully to learn from him while he was in character, I remember it being quite challenging because I was not from 18th century France, and he required that we learned. We learned the customs and the manners and the world behind the costume. So tonight we will learn. In ancient Israel, foot washing was an ordinary practice, but it was also deeply meaningful. Travelers walked dusty roads in sandals, and by the time they arrived at someone's home, their feet were worn and dirty. A host would offer water so that guests could wash their feet, helping them feel refreshed upon coming into their home. In wealthier households, it was usually the lowliest servant who would wash the guest's feet. In this way, it was not only an act of hospitality, it was also a very clear marker of the social hierarchy of the time. To wash another's feet was to take on the lowliest of roles. And yet, having witnessed Jesus' ministry and teachings in that upper room, none of the disciples stepped forward. Perhaps they felt uneasy, or maybe they resisted the humility they knew would be required. It is into that moment of hesitation that Jesus steps in. He took the basin, the water, the towel. He knelt before each of his disciples. He didn't pause to ask if anyone had washed their feet first with a good kind of soap, or if they had clipped their toenails, or managed to get a pedicure real quick so that they were putting their best foot forward. Jesus wasn't interested in whether or not their feet looked perfect or smelled good. he simply knelt down at the feet of his friends and loved them. The teacher became the servant. The Lord took the lowliest place. In that radical reversal, Jesus showed them that God's kingdom is always upside down. Greatness is found in humility, power expressed through love, and the last are to be first. This story reminds us that Jesus' call to love is lived in the ordinary. Sometimes uncomfortable details of our own lives. To love often means stepping into humility, serving in ways that make us feel exposed, embracing roles that we might not think are ours to inhabit. And yes, it is uncomfortable, especially when it comes to letting ourselves be loved in return. Many of us have been shaped to believe, I imagine, by giving is good and right, loving is good and right, but receiving it can sometimes feel like a much harder task. We kneel, we serve, we show up. But when it is our turn to sit, to be seen, to let someone kneel before us, something inside of us resists and pushes back. We pull back, we opt out, we stay in our seats. And in doing so, we not only protect ourselves, but we also deny someone else the chance to love us. To receive love, to let someone care for us, is an act of pure grace. It is participating in the same mutuality Jesus modeled in the upper room, a reflection of God's truest heart. Just as giving love transforms us, receiving love transforms us too. And it opens us to God's kingdom in a tangible and lived way. But Jesus' example of love doesn't stop at the basin. The one who kneels tonight will soon be stripped of his garments tomorrow, forced to carry a cross. The one who takes the lowliest place at the table will still go even lower. The reversal might begin tonight, but it doesn't end here. Tomorrow, that love will refuse to defend itself. It will endure betrayal, abandonment, and death. And when silence falls, and love seems hidden by the shadow of death, the story is still not over. This way of loving, vulnerability, freely given, freely received, is the pattern of God's life in our world. What looks like weakness is exactly where we find God's power to be. What looks like loss is love refusing to let us go. And what looks like the end is, in fact, the beginning of new life. So tonight, this story invites us to step into the next 3 days fully. Some of us will wash another's feet and have our feet washed tonight. Some will come forward for the first time. And some might find that they are not yet ready to step into this part of the story. Regardless of where you find yourself tonight, I hope that you can trust that this is where transformation can happen. In giving and receiving, in kneeling and being held by another, and in letting Christ meet you exactly where you are. And in all of this, the same Christ who models humility and love tonight is the one who will go to the cross for you, and the one who will rise to call you his beloved. Let us step into the story, not just as observers memorizing names and dates and places, but as faithful participants, trusting that in our openness to love and to be loved in return, we are being drawn ever more deeply into the life of the living God. Amen.